Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Kuf Chaf Tes. Today's the final day of the ninth parak of the Masechta. God willing, we're going to finish. We're on Kuf Chaf Ches Amid Beis. We are discussing the Tumas Nevela and Tumas Ochlin. It has been our primary topic of discussion since the beginning of this parak. This parak is dedicated to the topic of Tumas Tahara, and we are coming off of a Mishnah trying to make heads and tails of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is found in Kuf Chaf Zayin Amid Aleph. The Mishnah talks about limbs that are tenuously connected to an animal. The Mishnah reads, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah, if I have limbs or flesh that are tenuously connected, they're just hanging on, even if it's the connection is extraordinarily tenuous. So rule number one we learn back in the Mishnah is that it's ochel. Now, even though it is still connected to a living animal, and even though obviously we are not allowed to eat it, but it is ochel. It can be viewed as food. It requires machshava, and it requires hechsher, but it can be viewed as food, and therefore subject to tumas ochlin. Even though, despite the fact that it's still part of a living creature, but nevertheless, it's subject to tumas ochlin. Nishchata habehema. Now, the Mishnah deals with a number of scenarios. Let's say the animal were to have been shechted. So, huchshara b'dameh div Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Shimon Amar lo huchshara. So that limb, that tenuously connected limb, does that require hechsher or is it kvar muchshar? And this was a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon. And yesterday's daf, we spent six different ways trying to understand that machlokes, give some sort of basis for that machlokes. And then mesa behema, now the animal dies, abasot tzarech hechsher. So the meat of that limb requires hechsher. Mesa behema habasa tzarech hechsher. The meat requires hechsher. Ha'ever metamei mishum ever menachai. Ve'ena metamei mishum ever nevela div Reb Meir. Now, as far as the limb is concerned, so the limb is subject to tumas ever menachai and is not going to be subject to tumas nevela. So stay tuned, as what we're going to be doing later on is going to be explaining that line of the Mishnah, and specifically the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon says that's tahor. That limb of the dead animal, the tenuously connected limb of the dead animal, the animal that died without a shechita, so he says that limb is going to be tahor. That is a really difficult position to maintain, but we're going to be discussing that later on. In the meantime, however, mesa behema, we are now describing, we're on the Gemara Kuf Chav Chesam and Beis, and the Gemara is giving some basic information. So the animal dies, ma'ika bein ever menachal la'ever shel nevela. Ever menachai is a source of tumah. So is a limb of nevela. So they're both have a tumah. So, okay, in other words, it's nice to know which one categorically falls under, but if they're both serving as an avatumah, what's the difference between ever menachai and ever shel nevela? So Ika ben Erev, the Gemara says, no, there's going to be a difference, and that is basar aporish me'menu, me'ever behema. De'ila basar aporish me'ever menachai la'metameh, me'ever menevela metameh. So the Gemara points out the notable difference is going to be the following. If I have Ever Menachai, a limb that came off of a living animal. So again, that limb is both Aser to eat for both us and for Bnei Noach. But that's not our topic right now. Our topic is the ninth parak of Chulin. We're talking about the Tumah. So vis-a-vis Tumah, that limb is an Avatumah. It's a source of Tumah. What is the source of that? We're going to be going over that just in just a moment. But it's only going to be an Avatumah while it's a limb. If I were to take then flesh off of that limb that was already detached from an animal, so that flesh is not going to be tameh. That flesh is basar from Ever Menachai, and that's not going to be tameh. Mashenkin, however, if I have nevela, so once it is classified and designated as nevela, so you take, as long as you're taking gezeis of meat off of it, so then it is going to be subject to tumah because it's nevela. So there is a very basic nafkamina between Tumas Ever Menachai and Tumas Nevela. So Ever Menachai de Metamia Mikra. So the Gemara says, okay. And how do I know that Ever Menachai is Tameh altogether? Meaning there are clear psukim that talk about Nevela being Tameh. How do I know that Ever Menachai is Tameh? So I'm Rav Yudah Amara Vechiyamus Min HaBehema. So it's a drasha. So the first drasha the Gemara presents to us is when an animal dies Min HaBehema. So some of the animal's dead. Now that's funny, right? Some of the animal's dead. Isn't it binary? Either the animal's dead or it's not dead. What does it mean, some of the animal's dead? So the Gemara's darshaning from the Pasuk. When we say some of the animal's dead, meaning Ever Menachai. You took a limb off the animal. So vis-a-vis that limb, so that limb now is not going to regenerate, then that limb is dead, and so therefore that is the source of Aver Menachai being an Avatuma. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second, that pasuk you just quoted, we used it earlier. The other drasha we use from that pasuk is that some animals are going to be a source of tumah and some animals are not, if in fact they die without a shechita. Or I should say better, even if they died with a shechita. You have an animal which is a trefa. It's no telamos. It's going to die in the near future. Nevertheless, the shechita of a trefa is going to prevent it from becoming a nevela. So basically, when the Torah says v'chiyamos min ha-behema, so not all dying animals are going to give off tumah. Notably, the trefa that was shechted. We have now a drasha for that pasuk. How can I use that pasuk now for our drasha of tumas aver menachai? So the Gemara says imkin lechta rechmana mi behema my min ha-behema shma min atarte. So the Gemara says, okay, over here there is room for both drashas. If the Torah only wanted to give us one drasha, it would have said, mi behema, contracting the mem and the behema. However, since the Torah uses it in two distinct words, so it opens it up for two drashas. One drasha, the shechting of a trefa, preventing it from becoming a nevela. The second drasha, a limb ripped off of a live animal, aver menachai, is going to be an avatuma. So, ihachi afila basar nami. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the flesh? What about the flesh taken off of the Aver Menachai? Lo sakadacha, the Gemara says no. Detanya will enter Brisa, Yachli Hei Basar Aparish Menachai Tameh. If I have flesh coming off of a live animal, there's a havamina that it'd be Tameh. So Tamalamar Vichiamos Menamehema, Ma Misa Shena Ose Chalipin, Avkol Shena Ose Chalipin, Divre Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara quotes the name of Rabbi Yossi, perhaps Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that over here, the criteria of what is going to give off Avatama is going to be only a scenario of lack of regeneration. If it cannot regenerate, it's going to be tame. When I have a little bit of flesh coming off the animal, the Gemara's assumption is that could regenerate, and so consequently, that which came off is not going to be an avatama. A limb, on the other hand, that comes off of an animal, so that limb cannot regenerate, and therefore, that limb is considered an avatama. That is the definition of what is and what is not an avatama. Rabbi Kiva agrees to the conclusion, but simply disagrees in terms of what the source is. Rabbi Kiva omre behema ma behema gidim v'atzamos af kol gidim v'atzamos. The reason why the Aver Menachai is an avatama, but not Basar Menachai, is not because of regenerative properties, but rather because it has to mimic the animal. Meaning, what is an animal? So the basic construct of an animal is gidim. Gidim and atzamos, sinews and bones. So in order for a piece of the animal to come off and to be an avatuma, it has to have gidim and atzamos. And so when a piece of flesh comes off, it is not a reflection of the animal itself, vis-a-vis tumas, the avatuma, and so therefore it's not going to be tummy. Okay, so, and Rebbe Omer, behema. And a third way to arrive at the same conclusion. Now, according to Rabbi, he basically agrees with Rabbi Akiva, but he's going to add one more characteristic, one more criteria. In order for a limb to be an avatama, it has to have basar gidim v'atzamos. If it does not have basar gidim v'atzamos, so then it's not going to be an avatama. Okay. So what do we have right now? Basically, everyone's in agreement. A limb coming off of a live animal is going to be an avatama. Okay, and the source of it, so we have a number of suggestions in terms of what the sources are. A piece of flesh coming off of a live animal is not going to be an avatama. Okay, so far so good. Now, there are going to be subtle distinctions between the ways we presented it. So, my ika ben Rebbe le Rebbe Akiva. So first, what is going to be the difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva? So, ika ben Arkuva. So the difference is going to be that lower leg. The lower leg, the lower portion of the leg, is basically going to be made up of bone and tendon, and there's not going to be any basar, there's no real flesh over there. Right? Remember just the other day we talked about how generally when that lower leg is being sold, so it's sold together im harosh, it's sold together with the head, there really is, even between the two, not a lot of meat going on, very little meat going on. So there, it's gidim v'atzamos, but it's not really basar. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, Gidin Vatzamas is all you need in order for it to be an Avatama. And according to Rabbi, you need Gidin Vatzamas Vibasar, and you don't have it by the lower section of the leg. Good. So that's one practical difference between Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi. Bein Rabbi Akiva le Rav Yosef Galila Ma'ika. So, and the, So, as far as Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Galila are concerned, what's going to be the halachic difference between the two? Ika Menahu. So, Amra Papa, Kulya Vaniv Sifasayim. So we're talking things like the kidney and things like the lips. According to Rav Yosef Aglili, if the lips come off the animal, it's not going to regenerate. So according to Rav Yosef Aglili, what is the definition of tuma and tumas avram and achai? As long as it doesn't regenerate. So these are things that do not regenerate, and therefore it's going to be an avatama. Mashenkein, according to Rabbi Kiva. No, the only thing that's going to have tumas avram and achai is only if it has bones and gidim and tendons and sinews. And over here, obviously, the lips and the kidneys do not. And so therefore, it's not going to be tumay avram and achai. Okay. So, Tanya Nami Gabi Shratzim. Okay, everything we just did regarding the limb taken off of an animal, vis-a-vis tumas tevela, so we're going to do the exact same thing regarding a sheretz. Now again, Shmona Shratzim, 8 Shratzim of the Torah, last week's Parsha, where the Torah identifies where if they are dead, they're going to be an avatumah, they're going to be a source of tumah. Again, the difference between Nevela and Tumas Nevela and Tumas Sheretz, they're both an avatumah. Tumas Nevela gives off tumah through Maga and Masa, and Tumas Sheretz only gives off tumah through Maga. Okay, so now, Tanya Namehachi Gabi Shratzim, we're going to go through this quickly because it's basically the same point. Kahai Gavna. Now, let's say it's just a piece of flesh coming off of a sheretz. One of the sheretzim, as we talked about yesterday, was a toad. So, it's just a piece of meat of the toad, the flesh of the toad. So, a piece of flesh coming off is not going to be tamei, and why not? So, again, it's going to be a repeat of what we saw earlier. Earlier, we talked about an animal. Now, we're talking about a sheretz. So Rav Yosef Lili says, because in order for it to give off tuma, it has to have non-regenerative properties. It can't regenerate. So over here, a little piece of flesh comes off the toad, it's going to regenerate. So Rabbi Kiva, Amar Sheretz, Ma Sheretz, Gidim Vatzamos, I've called Gidim Vatzamos. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, well, the thing that's going to give off tuma is where it has necessarily bones and sinews. If a little piece of meat comes off, it doesn't have bones and sinews. Rabbi Amar Sheretz, Ma Sheretz, Basar Gidim Vatzamos, I've called Basar Gidim Vatzamos. And as far as Rebbe's concerned, basic agreement with Rabbi Akiva is just that he adds one more criteria. It has to have flesh as well. So it has to have flesh, bones, and sinews according to Rebbe. Now, Bein Rebbe le Rabbi Akiva ikabenayu arkuva. And so once again, the same nafkaminas. The difference between Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva is going to be the lower leg. The lower leg that has bones and sinews but does not have flesh, according to Rabbi, that's not going to give off tumas avram and achai. According to Rabbi Akiva, it will give off tumas avram and achai. Bein Rabbi Akiva le Rabbi Yosef Galila Ma'ika Benayu Amar Papa Kulya Venivsa Saimika Benayu. And here as well, regarding what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Galila, lips and kidneys. Lips and kidneys, when they come off of the sheretz, are not going to regenerate. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yosef Galila, it is subject to tumas avram and achai. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not going to be subject to Avram and Achai, simply because it doesn't have the bones and the sinews that are necessary for Tumas Avram and Achai. Okay, and so now, we did the same thing by Shratzim that we did by Nevela. Was that necessary? The Gemara says, absolutely necessary. Utsricha. So the Gemara says, look, we know the basic difference between an Avela versus a Sheretz. A Sheretz is going to give off Tumah even if all you have is just but a Adasha, a lentil size worth of the Sheretz. So therefore, one could have made the argument that it should be Tumah not only after the animals died, but even Mechayim, even while the animal's alive. And conversely, I could have made the argument that a sheretz is only going to give off tumas maga. So therefore, the tumah is only going to be there when the sheretz is dead. Masha'inkin, when it comes to a nevela, which gives off maga and masa, so the havamina would have been that it's going to give off tumah while alive, because it gives off tumah both maga and masa as well. Tzricha. So basically, each one of them have a chumra. Each one of them have a kula, and that's why I needed, necessarily, the drashas for both. Tanu Rabbanan. We are in the bottom of Kuf Chav Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Hachotech Kezayis Basar Me Eiver Menachai. If let's say you have Eiver Menachai, now as we already established, Eiver Menachai is an Avatumah. It's going to be self-generating Tumah. When that Eiver Menachai comes into contact with an Adam or a Keli, it's going to make it Tameh. And as we also just established, a piece of flesh coming off of the Eiver Menachai is not going to be Tameh. Okay, so far so good. Let's say we cut off a Kezayis of Basar from Eiver Menachai, Chadcho V'achar Kachishev Alav Tahor. If let's say you cut it, and then afterwards you had a machshava that it's going to be consumed, it is going to be tahor. If on the other hand, you have a machshava, and then afterwards you cut it, so it's going to be tameh. Now, we're going to try to wrap our heads around this idea that it depends when you had the machshava, before you cut it or after you cut it. So the Gemara now discusses and tries to understand. I'm holding off just simply because the Gemara is going to discuss. So Rabbi Asi lo alav midrasha. So a construct that normally that regularly comes up in the Gemara, and that is an Amara didn't go to the base medrash and he wanted a review. And in the review, so we're going to be discussing our particular topic here in this particular Gemara. Rabbi Asi did not go to the base medrash. Ashkechila Rabbi Zera. He encounters Rabbi Zera. Amale my Amar bebe midrasha. New what they talk about in Shir today. Amalei my kashilach. He says, I know you're driving at something. What was difficult to you? Amalei diktani chishev achaka chatcho tameh. So here's what bothers me. We're talking about now the cutting off of a piece of flesh from Eiver Menachai. And we're saying now that as long as you had the machshava prior, it's going to be tameh. Now, the reason why it's going to be tameh is as follows. The basar now is that's cut off of the Eiver Menachai is viewed as edible. Now again, by the way, when I say edible, I do not mean that it is halachically mutter to eat, because it's not. It is a part of Eiver Menachai. It once was a part of Eiver Menachai. So it's not that it's going to be mutter to eat, but, however, it is edible. And remember, regarding Tumas Ochlin, so Isser V'Heter is not going to necessarily be the guide of what is designed, and I'm sorry, what has the status of food? What has the status of food is just simply edibility. Can it be eaten? Physically eaten? Is it something consumable? So it is. On the other hand, so let's try to get this straight. So we have a machshava that we're going to eat this meat that's connected to the Eiver Menachai, and the machshava machshava renders it a food. I get that part. Here's the part, however, that I do not get. When you're cutting off that piece of meat from the Eiver Menachai, we just learned in the Braisa together that it's Tameh. Why? Because upon separation, it came into contact with Eiver Menachai. Right? It's a little bit tricky to understand, but we've seen this numerous times throughout the Gemara, that its contact is actually at the time when it's separated. The Gemara says, okay, but where is it making contact one with another? And that is on an internal point of contact, meaning, and as we've discussed time and again throughout both our perek, we discussed it back in the fourth perek. In order for tumah to communicate from one item to another, it must be surface area contact. Contact between two items that are on the surface area. Over here, when I'm separating the meat from the Eiver Menachai, its contact was internal. Now, it's true, after it's separated, I know this is a little bit of a mind bend, after it's separated, it now becomes surface area. I do understand that. The Gemara understands that. But nevertheless, at the time when the contact was significant is when they were touching one another, and that's when they were interior to one another, and that should not communicate tumah. And he says, and that's my problem. And the Gemara says it much more succinctly than I did, as we now are on the top of Kuf Chav Tesam and Aleph, tumas beis astarim hiv, tumas beis astarim lo mitame. So this is a quintessential, this is a perfect example of contact, but only on interior area and not on surface area. And that does not transmit tumah. So Amar le'afle didi kashalis, he says, you know, that is an excellent question. You know, I had the same question as well. V'shi'ilti le'rebi abba bar mama v'amar le'hamani rebi meir hidamar tumas meis astarim mitamya. So, and he says, look, there's no elegant answer to this question. The author of the Brice is Reb Meir. Reb Meir subscribes to transmission of tumah, even if the point of contact was not a surface area point, even though it was an internal point of contact, Reb Meir subscribes to the idea that that is going to transmit Toma. Where do we see Reb Meir say this? Go all the way back to the fourth parak. Rashi reminds us. If you go back to the fourth parak of the Masechta, you will find over there, Rabbi Meir is the case over there, a complicated case, where the fetus of the mother has extended a limb, and then what you did is you shechted the mother at that point in time. The protruding fetus now is considered not inside the mother, not nitar b'shchitas imo, and according to Reb Meir, it's going to be tummy, that limb that's protruding outside, and according to Reb Meir, because that limb now is in now physical contact with the fetus that's inside, the fetus inside also is going to have a status of tumah. And you ask the question, well, I don't understand, the point of contact between the two, the point of contact with between the two is not a surface area contact. They're contacting each other on the interior, and you tell me that that's transmitting tumah? And Reb Meir says yes, because Reb Meir subscribes to this idea that even though contact is interior, it's going to be mitame. Tumas basis starim according to Reb Meir is going to be mitame. That's the case back in the fourth parak. The author of this brisa that we're learning right now is Reb Meir. So Amrle v'lav zimna segin Amri kameva Amrle shani le Reb Meir bein tumah de baye hechsher ubein tumah de lo baye hechsher. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. How can you compare the two? In that case over there, that was tumah that required hechsher. Tumah that required hechsher. Sorry, let me say it better. In that case over there in the fourth paragraph, that's tumah she'ino by hechsher. We're talking about the limb that was protruded. The limb that was protruded, mamish, is not, is an avatama and does not require hechsher. Maybe in that scenario, a mayor would allow for transmission of tumah, even though the point of contact was an interior point of contact. Over here, however, we're talking about something which is a food, which requires hechsher. Maybe it's different. So amarava umay kusha dumah b'shehuchshar. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't think that's such a that's such a difficult question. Maybe over here, in our discussion, when we're talking about a food, a piece of meat cut off the Eiver Menachem, maybe it already came into contact with the liquid, and so maybe it was mukshar. And if that's true, the cases now are comparable. Amalei Rabba Baruch Hanan LaRava Lamali Hechsher Hare Metametum Chamura Agav Aviv. Okay, now we are going to be touching on a point that we discussed earlier in our perek. And this is a subtle point, however, this is really fundamental throughout our entire parak, and here we get to discuss it once again. A food, in order for it to become susceptible to tumah, needs hechsher. It needs to come into contact with a liquid. Okay, and we can offer reasons and svaras in terms of why that is, but right now we don't need reasons and svaras. A food can only become subject to becoming tameh only with hechsher. However, as we learned early in the parak, if we know that something is going to be tuma chamura, if it is going to be an avatuma, so even though in its current state it is a food, it does not require hechsher. Anything which is destined to be an avatuma does not require hechsher. Now, I tried to argue this earlier, and I'll make the same argument I did as well, meaning once we know that something is in itself going to generate tuma, it doesn't require the hechsher so that it's going to be susceptible to tumas ochlin, because if we just wait a little bit, we know that it is going to be a self-generating tumah, so already it is kind of primed, if you will, to becoming tameh, and therefore it doesn't require hechsher. Now the Gemara over here says, so let's think this through. We have an Eiver Menachai. It's established that it's an avatumah. We're cutting a piece of meat off of it. Now the piece of meat, once it's cut off of it, is no longer Eiver Menachai. That's fine. However, it touched the Eiver Menachai as it was being separated, and so therefore that's going to be a transmission of tumah. And now what we're dealing with is the very subtle question of, well, was it mukshar so that it can actually receive the tumah? And so Rava's response is, well, yeah, let's just say it was mukshar. But the Gemara says, but even before we get to that point, can we look at it at a more fundamental level? This piece of meat was once upon a time, not so long ago, part of the Eiver Menachai. As part of the Eiver Menachai, it was an avatuma. And now we're having a discussion of, well, once it's separated, and now it's no longer Eiver Menachai, and now it's just a food, and now it needs hechsher for tumas ochlin. No, it doesn't. At one point in time historically, just a short couple of minutes ago, it was an avatuma. And you're telling me that when it's separated, and now it's a food, it's going to require hechsher? It shouldn't require hechsher, because it was an avatuma. And once it's an avatama, it's basically primed already to receive tumah. meaning we could say it's stronger. It was once primed to be a source of tumah, and now that it's separated, I need hechsher for it to become tumah.
Because it's a different category of tumah, though.
Okay, so the Gemara is going to answer. So the Gemara is going to say, "Hari mitamet tumachomer." I'm sorry. L'ra lamali hechsher hari mitamet tumachomer agav aviv. Amar le kishishimish ma'ase eight shimish. So the Gemara says like this, and this is and again now it cuts into a really fundamental issue. When the meat was connected to the limb, it wasn't food. It was Avram and Achai. Avram and Achai, so interesting. Avram and Achai, you're not allowed to eat. Sasar ba'achila. Avram and Achai is also going to be an avatama. The Gemara right now is making the following argument. Avram and Achai is not really food. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Avram and Achai is not food. It's a limb with bone and with sinew and with flesh. Now granted, of those three items that I just listed, one of them is edible, but two of them are clearly not edible. And yet, if I were to eat, if any one of us were to eat Avram and Achai, they'd be violating the Torah. So when the meat was connected to the Avram and Achai, functionally speaking, it wasn't really Ochlin. It was Avram and Achai. Categorically, basically its own separate and unique category. Not really Ochlin. When the meat now comes off of the limb, it's now Ochlin. So I'm with you. If I have a food that's going to be Tumah Chamura, like, for example, something's going to be a Nevela. So you're right, it does need Hechsher for Tumas Ochlin. But Nevela is also because it's an Ochel. Over here, the meat of Avram and Achai, that's not Ochlin. That's Avram and Achai. And so therefore, categorically, it's totally different. Amar Abaye Hare Amru. And now we're basically going to go over this idea five times over, just to make sure that it's drilled into our head. This idea that when a food is functionally not serving as a food, halachically it's not a food, not subject to tumah. Or in some cases, it is subject to tumah, but not as a food. Okay, so five times we're going to see this. Number one, Amar Rabbi Hare Amar Kupa Seor Sheyichta LeYeshiva Batla Mitam Batla. So I have now a piece of chametz, as we're approaching Pesach, right, Hilchos Pesach, although admittedly, this is an unusual halacha of Pesach. And now this chametz has become so dried up. So you know what? Basically, no longer is it really going to be good for eating. You know what? It'll be good for sitting. And now we're going to designate it as a cushion. And in fact, we are using it as a cushion. So could you pass me the chametz cushion so I can sit down on the chair? I know it sounds a little strange. And the halacha is that it is now servicing as a cushion. It is now going to behave like a cushion halachically. If a zav were to sit on it, it's going to become tamei. Tumas medras, it's going to be an avatama. Now when Abaye hears this, Abaye says, wait 1 second. I can't imagine that it's going to be a real bona fide tumah da araisa of tumas zav. And this is Abaye's comment. Tumas alav da araisa. Isach adaycha da araisa matzina la'ochlin shematame tumah chamura. So, and Abaye says, and look, here's the argument. Because it can't be a tumah da araisa, because if that's true, then we're basically having food convert into tumah chamura, self-generated tumah. And what's the problem with that? It's been the constant problem. If you have a food that's going to become tumah chamura, it doesn't require hechsher. So over here, we know food does require hechsher. So it can never become a tumah chamura. It can never be a self-generated tumah. So again, the answer of the Gemara is going to be the same. We're going to keep hearing this answer again and again, five times, well, plus the original time. So kishishimish maisa eight shimesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? When it's serving as a cushion, it's no longer food. It's now in its own separate category. It is considered furniture. And as such, once the chametz is converted into a cushion, it's no longer chametz, it's no longer food. And that's why the tumah is going to be a bona fide tumah daraisa. And don't be bothered by the fact, oh, well, then it's going to become tumah chamura. Then it doesn't require hechsher in its food state. No, that was when it was food. This is now a cushion. It's different. Amar Abaye Hari Amr Takrov Savoros Kochav Shal Ochlin Metamim Ba'Ohel Tumas. I'm sorry, Metamim Ba'Ohel. If I have something which is Takrov Savoros Zara, we know the halach is Takrov Savoros Zara is Aser Ba'Achila Aser Ba'Na and. On top of that, is also going to give off Tumas Ohel. Okay. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses this in greater detail. In the meantime, however, it's a food that's going to give off Tumas Ohel. So again, Abaye's response is Tumas Alav Daraisa. It can't be that this tuma is a tuma daraisa. Isak adacha daraisa matzin lochlin shematam in tuma chamura. So because now we're going to, again, the problem is that food is going to become tuma chamura. That is untenable. And again, the Gemara's answer, kishishimesh maisa eishimesh, no. When this was offered as takrovas avodah zarah, it lost its status as food and is now simply a new item. It's like a piece of wood, right? Kishishimesh maisa eishimesh. As now takrovas avodah zarah, being that it's asur b'achila and it's asur b'anah, so it's no longer categorically considered food. And yes, the tumah is going to be tumah daraisa. Amar Abaye, here comes the third round of the same discussion. Hari Amar Chebur Ochlem Kikelem Damu Damu. If let's say, for example, I have a bowl and there's a couple of very big cracks in it, and so you know what? Instead of using spackle, so I'll just use a little bit of dough to fill in the cracks. Okay, and now I'm going to let it sit there, and it's actually going to become part of the kli. And not only does it become part of the kli, halachically, it's kli. This is exactly what we just learned. Chibure ochlin kikelem damo. Now, let's imagine that this kli comes into contact with an actual mace. Now, we know a mace is an avi avos hatama. What does that make a kli? Makes a kli an av hatama. That dough that I used as spackle to fill in the crack of the kli is now going to be an av hatama. And that mean now that the food just became an av hatama? And again, Abai can't wrap his head around this idea. So how can it be that food is going to become an avatumah? It must be that the tumah is not daraisa. And again, we know what the response is because we keep hearing it again and again. Again, answer of the Gemara, no. Once your dough is basically being used as spackle to fill in the cracks of the bowl, it's no longer food. It's maisa eit shimesh. It's now basically wood. It's being treated like wood. It's serving like as wood. And categorically, halachically, it's no longer food. New category. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava Hadatanya. Let's do this again. Chelav nevela b'kfarim. We're talking about the fats of a nevela in the villages. Remember Rashi yesterday? Rashi actually gave two pshatim yesterday. I'm going to repeat the first pshat as I did yesterday. In the villages, there are not a lot of people over there. So the villagers did not eat the chelav. The villagers did not view chelav as food. Tzarech machshava vehechsher. So it requires, for the villagers, it requires machshava. They have to have a positive machshava to eat it. And on top of that, it also requires hechsher as well. So the Gemara says, Tomaso agav kul yalav daraisa. Now, that layer of membrane of fat that surrounds the kidney, which is chelav, as we already discussed back earlier in the Masechta. So, you want to tell me now that's a food that could potentially become a tuma d'oraisa? How can that be? So again, it can't be d'oraisa. That's the argument. Isak adach d'oraisa matzin la'ochusha matame. Excuse me. Tuma chamura. And again, the same question. How can a food become a tuma chamura? It can't be, because again, food by very definition can never obtain the status of tumah chamura, otherwise it would never require hechsher. So the Gemara says, kishishimesh maisei shimesh. And again, the Gemara says, look, that membrane that surrounds the kidney, as it's serving as a membrane, it is not halachically, categorically fall into the category of food, but rather it's simply a shomer for the kidney, and so therefore it falls into a totally different category. And just in case we have not hammered the point enough, one more time. Amar Rav Masna Hari Amar Bai Shesichu B'Zerayim. So let's say you have a hut where I'm basically putting in some sort of vegetation on the top, but the vegetation, the leaves and the bamboos I'm putting on top, so it actually has edible seeds in them. So tiaro. So what we have basically done now is that even though it was a food, so it is now going to be considered part and parcel of the hut. And if in the event that the hut becomes now, now, generally speaking, anything connected to the ground is impervious to tumah. That part's true. However, there's one notable exception in next week's parsha, and that's negebatim. If I have tsaras of the house, so the house is going to be tumah. The house is going to be tumah, including the roof, including the edible seeds of the roof. So tumas alav daraisa. And again, we make our original argument, it's not a din daraisa. To which the Gemara responds, it is. How can the seeds achieve the level of tamachamura if in fact the house becomes tsaras? So again, kishishimesh maise shimesh. Once I take those seeds and use them as part of the material for the roof of the house, it is not categorically food. Since functionally we're using it as building material, halachically it leaves the world of food and enters into the world of building material. Okay, Adkan. Takes us to the end of that sugya. We are continuing. We're on Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Shimon Mitahir. Manavshach. The Gemara now is describing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon at the end of the Mishnah, which we reviewed in the beginning of Shir this morning. Rabbi Shimon is describing a scenario in which they have a tenuous limb connected to an animal. The animal died, and Rabbi Shimon says the limb is tahor, and the Gemara's head is about to explode. How can you have the limb, the tenuously connected limb to an animal that died without a shechita? You want to tell me that the limb is tahor? On what basis? Manavshach I misa osa nipo litami misham ever menachai. Now, we are going to assume that that limb detached during the death. Did it attach before the animal died or after the animal died? It's debatable. But either way you're going to debate it, it's going to be tame. If the limb came off before it died, so that limb now is ever menachai. As we've already established earlier this morning, an avatuma. And I ain misa osa nipo litami misham ever menanavela. And if the limb detached only after the animal died, well, congratulations, the animal's a nevela, and the limb that came off of the nevela is a nevela. So how could you possibly argue that this tenuously connected limb, connected to an animal that died without shechita, the limb is going to be tahor? Of course it's not going to be tahor. So the position is just simply untenable, and we have to reinterpret Rabbi Shimon. Now, there's not much to reinterpret, by the way, because Rabbi Shimon says tahor. It's challenging to reinterpret that sentence. We're not going to reinterpret this. Huh? No. So what we're going to do now is that we're basically going to say that Rabbi Shimon was not discussing this case. He was discussing a previous case. So Rabbi Shimon HaReshakai, Aver v'abasam v'dudalim v'behema mitam mitamas ochlin, bim komam v'tzrichen hechsher. V'Rabbi Shimon mitaher. So Rabbi Shimon is going back on the first point of the Mishnah, where I have a tenuously connected limb to a live animal. We're not talking about where the animal was shechted. We're not talking about where the animal died on its own. We're talking about where the animal is alive, is currently alive. Rabbi Shimon says that the limb in its current state is tahor. So Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon. Now, why should that be? Amar Krami kol ha'ochel asher yachel, ochel she'ato yachol la'achil la'acherim, kari ochel, ochel she'iyato yachol la'achil la'acherim, ein kari ochel. Rabbi Shimon has a very restricted and limited definition of what food is. Food is only something which is edible and something that you can actually feed to others, meaning it has to be physically edible and halachically edible. Since this tenuously connected limb, although it is edible physically, but halachically, of course, it's not edible, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it does not fall under the category of food, and it's not going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. So Amalei Rabbi Zerula, Rabbi Asi, Dilma Taimed, Rabbi Shimon Hasam, Ho Ma'ura Ma'ura. Now the Gemara says, look, that's a really lovely explanation of Rabbi Shimon. Can't we give a much simpler explanation of Rabbi Shimon? And can't it just simply be the reason why it's Tahor is because he's of the viewpoint that a tenuous connection is still a connection? And the Gemara says, oh, you know what? That's a really good explanation. And in fact, the Gemara says, D'tanya. And I'll make the case very strong. D'tanya yichur shel te'inim shenifshach u'me'ura b'klipa. We had this case in just yesterday's daf. We described a fig branch that is pretty much detached off the tree, connected by the klipa, connected by the bark. So it's hanging on by not a thread, but a piece of bark. Rabbi Yehuda mitar v'chachamim omrim im yachol achios tar v'im lav tame. And so now, our food, is it subject to Tumah? Is it going to be Tumas Ochlin? Now, of course, we know that if the connection to the tree is strong, so of course it's not going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. Anything that is grounded, anything that is literally connected to the ground, is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Over here, being that it has a tenuous connection, is it Tumah or is it Tahor? So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first Shita, it's Tahor. According to the Chachamim, well, it depends. If it can regenerate and reconnect, so it'll be Tahor. Otherwise, it's ochlin. Now we're focusing on Rav Yehuda. The amrina lecha, my time is the Rav Yehuda. The amartlan hol ma'ura ma'ura. And so the explanation of Rav Yehuda, so simple, is that even though the connection is tenuous, it's still a connection. Even though it's only hanging on through its bark, but that's still a connection. And so therefore, it's grounded. Here too, our tenuously connected limb to the animal, do you know why it is not going to be tameh? Because it's still connected. Period. So Amar Leh, so he says to him, you know what? Good job. You're right. That is the, so at the end of the mission, when Rabbi Shimon says it's tahor, it's the it could very well be that it's going on the first case of the Mishnah, of the tenuously connected limb to a live animal, and the reason why that limb is tahor is simply because he views it as connected. Okay, so Amar Leh Amitziasa. Maybe another possibility is that Rabbi Shimon's talking about the middle case of the Mishnah, the tenuously connected limb to an animal that was shechted. Now, Nishchata Behema Huchshura B'dame Divrei Meir, Rabbi Shimon Omer Lo Huchshura. Now, the machlokus of whether or not the limb of an animal, a tenuously connected limb to an animal that did experience shechita, is that limb required hechshir, yes or no? And that was the machlokus. Now, and maybe Rabbi Shimon is going on that case. Now, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time to Rabbi Shimon, I'm a Krami, call Ocher Sher Yachel, Ocher Shato Yochel Lachil Lachem Kari Ochel, Shena To Yochel Lachil Lachem and Kari Ochel. And over here, what's that issue over here? Is that limb going to be considered food? And over here, the Gemara now is arguing, well, maybe it's not going to be considered food. And the reason why it's not going to be considered food is because food has to be both physically edible and halachically edible. And this tenuously connected limb is not. Even though the animal experienced shechita, but shechita was only good for the animal, not for the tenuously connected limb. But the Gemara says, really? The Gemara says, remember yesterday's daf? We had six different ways explaining that machlokus. We don't, I guess the Gemara is saying, we don't need another way to explain the machlokus. Six is just fine. Ela lo la masefa, velava eva ela abasar. So the Gemara says, okay. So it's Rabbi Shimon's not going on the first case of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon's not going on the second case of the Mishnah. There's only one more case, our case. The tenuously connected limb attached to an animal that died on its own. Now, Rabbi Shimon says that the limb is tahor. Now, again, can't be. The limb can't be tahor. It's either Avram and Achai or it's Nevela. Whichever one you choose, it's an avatoma. He's talking about flesh disconnected from this limb. So, Ela Abasar. Mesa Abahema Abasar Tarech Hechshir, Rabbi Shimon Metaher. Now, this, Rabbi Shimon says that the meat's going to be tahor. Now, why? I'm Rav Yochanan, and now we could say it. My time with the Rabbi Shimon, I'm a Krami, kol ochel she yachel, ochel she ato yochel achil lachem. Kari ochel, ochel she yato yochel achil lachem, ein kari ochel. And the reason why is because Rabbi Shimon does not view it halachically as food. Food, the halachic definition of food, it has to be, number one, it's physically edible, and number two, it has to be halachically edible over here. A piece of meat coming off of Avram and Achai, whatever it is, it's Avram and Achai, it's Nevela, it doesn't matter. A piece of meat coming off of it cannot be fed to others. Consequently, it does not have the status of food. Consequently, it's not subject to Tumas Ochlin. And Rabbi Shimon is talking about the meat coming off of the limb that came off of, that was tenuously connected to an animal that died without Shechita. I know that's a big sentence, but if you play it back, if you slow that down, you'll see that was all correct. Our last Mishnah, our last discussion. Ha'ever v'abasar medudalim ba'adam tahorim. If I have either a limb or a flesh of human of a human, and he's alive, so that limb and flesh is going to be tahor. Meis ha'adam ha'basar tamor tahor v'ha'ever mitamei mishum ever menachai ve'ena mitamei mishum ever menameis divrei Rabbi Meir. If after a person is dead and flesh comes off of the person, if after the person died, the flesh that came off before the person died is going to be tahor, but the limb that was detached is considered Avram and Achai, and it's not considered Avram and Ameis, according to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Shimon, once again, Rabbi Shimon Metaher. Now, Rabbi Shimon Manafshach. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. you have now a dangling limb of a human being, and the person died. Now, again, we got to choose. If the limb was detached before the person actually died, so then that limb is Evermen Achai, which is going to be a source of Tuma. And if it detaches only after the human died, so then that's Evermen Ames, which of course is going to be Tame. So Rabbi Shimon Ba'amakai. So the Gemara once again said that Rabbi Shimon is not commenting on our Mishnah, but rather in general. A limb coming off of a human remains is going to be tame. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, I disagree. Limb coming off of a human is not going to be tame. D'tanya. So the limb coming off of a live person is going to be tame. What? Limb coming off of a live person, not coming off of a dead person. The kavachomer, my chai shu utar ever approach me menatame, may shu utame lo kol shekain. So, if a limb coming off of a live person is going to be a source of tuma, you don't think a limb coming off of a dead person, which, in other words, the source of what it's coming off of is going to be tame. So you don't think a limb coming off is going to be tame as well. And then the Gemara over here treats us to a very simple kavachomer, as if to instruct us of, you know what a kavachomer looks like. Now it's kind of funny, like we all know what a kavachomer looks like. What we gain from the next lines of Gemara, it's kind of hard to say, but so you know on Pesach Sheni, so you're not allowed to eulogize. That's coming out of Megillas Tanis. So on Pesach Sheni, you're not allowed to eulogize. Does that mean you're allowed to eulogize on Pesach Rishon? Of course not. Pesach Rishon has much more of a yantav than Pesach Sheni. If I can't eulogize on Pesach Sheni, I certainly can't eulogize on Pesach Rishon. So lemisbeid ella kol dekain, hachanami kol dekain. So that is a kavachomer. Here also we have a kavachomer. If the limb coming off of a live animal is going to be a source of tuma, I heard that. If a limb coming off of a live person is going to be a source of tuma, a limb coming off of a dead person is certainly going to be an avatama. I'm like kach shamati. So he says, okay, I understand. Logic speaks the other direction. But this is the Masorah that I heard. Umayika bein ever menachai le'ever menames. So the Gemara says, now, halachically, what's the difference? Kizai's basav asim kisara aporish me ever menachai ika beinayu, did not. So the Gemara over here quotes a Mishnah from Adios. Kizai's basav aporish me ever menachai, Rabbi Lazar metami, Rabbi Nechunya benachan, Rabbi Yeshua metarin. If I have a piece of flesh that comes off of ever menachai, an amputated limb of amputated, meaning whatever, came off of a living person. So Rabbi Lazar says it's Tamei, Rabbi Nechunya ben Kana and Rabbi Yeshua say that it's Tahor, and Etzim Kesara, Porsh Me'ever Chaim, Rabbi Nechunya Metamei, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua Metarin. And if I have of a bone chip coming off of it, so it's a machlokas whether it's Tamei or whether it's Tahor. Hashadasu Sahachi, Bein Tanakam, Rabbi Shimon, Nami Kezai's Basar, the Etzim Kesara, or Ika Beinai. The Gemara says, good. So now, in terms of Rabbi Shimon, we can give now a really simple pshat in Rabbi Shimon. At the end of our mission, when Rabbi Shimon says that it's Tahor, it could just simply be that Rabbi Shimon's commenting on a piece of flesh or a bone chip coming off of an amputated limb of a live person. Meaning the limb itself is going to be Tameh, that's an Avatama. But vis-a-vis a basar or a bone that comes off of it, it's going to be, it could be Tahor, according to Rabbi Shimon. Hazal HaChor V'Arotev.